Second hour, Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on this Friday morning. Got a lot to get into. Don't forget, you just made the list coming up at high noon. We'll also head to Kansas City, learn a little bit more about the Chiefs in the third hour, and then pick six in the final hour. But first, Big Joe on the go. It's an easy follow. He's free and easy to do, at Big Joe on the go. That's his Twitter handle. He now joins us, Joe Dubin. Good morning, Joe. What's going on?
Good morning, guys. Quick question. Is our big-time friend Chase still working there, or has he gone network? I was curious.
I think the deal, nothing's been signed. The ink has not dried. Just saying.
Nice. All right. Well, though, good job last week, Chaser.
Thank you. I appreciate it, JoJo.
It was fun. We had this discussion. You're perfect to ask on this stuff. 15 years ago, hard to believe, we're in that week window of 15 years ago, Starwood Amphitheater. For people that, you know, have been in Nashville for a long time. That's when they closed their doors. We were talking about the last show that we saw. Do you remember the last show that you saw at Starwood?
Yeah, it was Motley Crue. It was September of 2005. A friend of mine got me third row seats and said, "Hey, man, we're third row Motley Crue." And I'm thinking, I'm not sure this is a good idea. And it was so loud that I'm not kidding you, I called in sick to work Monday and Tuesday because I could not hear. And when Vince Neil came, they did like a two-tier show. They did like one part of the show, some new songs nobody really cared about. Then they took about a five-minute break. They came back out again, and Vince Neil rode a Harley on stage.
Oh.
And that was like sitting inside the engine of a 747, and it got louder and louder. That was the last show I saw was Motley Crue, and to this day, it still hurts my head thinking about how loud that show was.
Now, wait a minute. Chase, did we say it was Motley Crue and Aerosmith, final show?
But you asked him the last show he went to.
No, I know, but I'm saying, is that the show, Joe,
no,
or just
it was
Motley
a year
Crue
later.
Standalone?
It was a year later. 2006, it was like October of 2006, okay. It was Aerosmith and Motley Crue.
Okay.
Yeah, so 2005, I saw them, and before that, and I wrote about this on my blog yesterday, my top five. Actually, my top six Starwood moments, Duran Duran came to concert. And for those who remember the Duran Duran show
there.
In 2005, Simon Le Bon came out. He was singing the song.
Yep.
And about a minute into the show, he stopped everything, started cursing out his audio people, turned to the audience and said, "You guys deserve better. You paid good money to be here, and we're not coming back on stage till we get this blanking thing fixed." And he left.
I was there, Joe.
15 minutes later, he came back out, and it was just nobody said a word. We're like,
I know.
Is this an act or is this real? And that's what he did. It was great.
I was sitting in the pavilion. I was under the roof for that, and I absolutely remember that.
And let's go back to 2001 or two when Sammy Hagar and David Lee Roth.
I was there for that. Yep.
And there's the reports that those two got into a fight backstage about who's going to come on last.
Oh.
And, like, their crew got into a fight with their crew, and David Lee Roth David Lee Roth, I think he started the show.
I was going to say, Sammy came on last, right?
That's right.
There for that.
Yeah. Huh, so somebody won the fight.
I have not heard the fight behind stage. Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, that tour didn't make it. Like they, and,
right.
And I think anyone that knew anything knew it wasn't going to.
Michael Anthony was there, Joe, and playing with Sammy.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So you wonder what happened backstage that – who got the TKO, and was there official result of a knockout or something that made Sammy go later on? But that's what the sad part is, and we've all been here a long time in Nashville. That place, we drive by now, you're thinking, what was so special about this place? But, you know, when you go to the concert out there, and I remember a Buffett concert where it poured down rain, and everybody on the hill just slid down in the pavilion. It was chaotic, but it was fun. A friend of mine told me yesterday that he worked security at a Lynyrd Skynyrd concert, and he said they stopped counting at like 400 knives. They took away knives, people coming to the show. It's just the history of that place, and it's not there anymore. And I feel bad for my son. He'll never experience how great Starwood is.
I mean,
it still sits there vacant, by the way. Nothing has happened to that property.
Right.
Nothing.
I mean, you guys saw it in the heyday. You especially, Joe, because you grew up here. But you know, my first concerts were there. I saw Aerosmith. I saw Lynyrd Skynyrd. I saw Tom Petty, Hank Jr. I mean, I saw some great shows out there.
I would say the two most crowded shows I ever saw there were Lenny Kravitz. Like, you could not move. Like, if you were trying to navigate in the lawn,
right.
good luck. Yeah. You had no chance. And I would say Dave Matthews and Lenny Kravitz were probably where I think they were. If the fire marshal would have actually shown up, he would have shut down the show.
Nice. It's funny you say that about that. You know, Motley Crue was the loudest show. The loudest crowd I ever heard was 1990. A friend of mine called me up and said, hey, man, I got 10 row seats to concert Starwood. You want to go? I'm like, yeah, I'm bored. Who is it? He's like, it's New Kids on the Block. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, I'll go. They're pretty popular. And there was 99.8% girls and dads and a couple losers like myself were there. That was the loudest crowd show I've ever heard in my life. I mean, they were right.
They just
nonstop
screamed.
For hours.
Screamed for 2 hours. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. You brought up the game that Chase and Max did on television. They did a great job. Kelly Holcomb, who joined us yesterday, he's on every Thursday with us for Silly Underdog Picks. It was the game of the week. It was a national game. Huge expectations. Oakland, I don't want to say they made it look easy. They didn't make it look easy, but they were in control that game. Were you surprised by that?
A little bit, because rivalry games either are really, really good or really, really bad. I was hoping to be really, really good. And Oakland's just the better team. We all can agree they're the better team. But here's the deal. They're probably on a collision course to meet again in the playoffs. It's hard to stop speed. It's hard to stop speed on a well-coached football team. It's hard to stop speed on a well-coached football team that doesn't make mistakes. And that's what Oakland did. They played a near-perfect game. Now, Coach Creasy at Oakland will tell you they didn't, which he's supposed to do that. But I was a little bit surprised just the way how good Riverdale's defense was playing. So now they'll get ready and reset and meet in the playoffs, and that'll be another fantastic, epic showdown. But I don't think anybody can stop that Oakland train right now with Jordan James, the University of Georgia signee. They've got it all going now. And I think playing CPA and Lipscomb really tested it and showed them where they're vulnerable and where their strengths are. Which leads, Darren, into the next question.
Oh, yes, Joe. CPA in Lipscomb. They are the game of the week this week, and boy, that is a marquee matchup. CPA has been so impressive, but they played some classic games last year, if I recall. So, Joe, break it down. What do you think?
Well, not only that, but let me ask this, Willie. I mean, what other school in America is going against each other on a Friday night when the two head coaches play in the National Football League? I know Dilfer, and I know Engel spent some time with the Packers, but look, he was on the team, on the practice squad, with Brett Favre, their friends. So you've got two NFL quarterbacks going head-to-head tonight. I think that's fantastic for high school football, and especially for the kids at CPA and Lipscomb to do this. Now, CPA beat Lipscomb for the state title last year, and again, these two teams will be on another collision course in Division II, 2A to meet in the state championship. So tonight is one of those games, just go out there and play football. The CPA is loaded. Lipscomb is loaded. They both played Oakland, both almost beat Oakland. So they've got a kind of that in common tonight. But for seeding-wise, this is the game in 2-2A to go forward. And I really don't know if CPA wins 14-13, I'm not surprised. Lipscomb wins 21-20, I'm not surprised. I just know it's going to be a good football game. I think that's what we all wanted.
No question about it. No question about it. So this is what I'm wondering, Joe. If you know, and this may have been a question for last week too, but if you feel like there's a pretty good chance that you're going to have to go through this team again, does that change your game plan at all? Does it change what you might show in a regular season game?
Fantastic question. Here's the deal. If you win your region, then you get the lowest seed team in the other region to play. If you come in second in your region, you get the higher seeded team. So in the first round of the playoffs, more chances than not, you're going to be playing a very good football team in that first round. So I'd rather win tonight and just keep winning, take my chances and go forward. But if you lose tonight, your season's not over. You still go the other way and still can make it in there. But that's a thing you talk about with coaches, like, well, you know, if we don't win tonight, it's no big deal. There's not a coach. If you have a coach in America that tells you, well, if we win, no big deal, I don't want to play for that coach. And I guarantee you, with Engel Martin and Trent Dilfer, they're saying the same thing, like, we're going to win the game tonight. Because as we've told, Willie, coaches told you forever, what's the most important game? It's the next one. So for those two coaches, that game is tonight.
So with some of the games tonight, as the playoffs are just a couple of weeks away, what are some teams to watch of how that are on the bubble that they need to win tonight to have a chance at playing in the postseason?
Well, there's a lot of teams looking in the region that's having that way, but I want to tell you, steer you a little bit further, farther east with that same question. Tonight at Green Hill High School, Station Camp takes on Green Hill, and that could be for the Class 5A Region 5 title. Look, Green Hill is in its second year of football. Station Camp has been an okay program for a couple of years, nothing really great for about 10 years or so. But now, there could, if you'd have told me in week one that, hey, on week 10, Joe, you're talking about Station Camp and Green Hill, I would have said, no, we're not. But here we are, and that's a great game tonight. Both these teams are probably getting the playoffs, but that's what makes high school football so cool, is that these two schools, at the start of the season, the only people who probably believed in them were themselves. And so now they've got a great chance tonight to make it in and to get a big win and a big up in that region. Next week, Green Hill travels to Mount Juliet for their game. Now, Mount Juliet tonight plays Hillsboro. If Hillsboro can knock off Mount Juliet, and if Green Hill can win tonight, they win the region because they're undefeated in the region. Mount Juliet's got two losses. So pay attention also to the Hillsboro-Mount Juliet game. Hillsboro lost the first four or five coming out of the gate. They're playing good football now. They're going to Mount Juliet. If Hillsboro upsets Mount Juliet, I would not be surprised. That's a team right now that's on the bubble chase and needs a win tonight. That's also a great game. So we got three really good games tonight. CPA at Lipscomb, we've got Station Camp at Green Hill, and Hillsboro at Mount Juliet.
Yeah, and Hillsboro would play next week. Sorry about that. Hillsboro would play next week at Wilson Central. So, I mean, they are definitely one fighting for a spot. What are some other games that Main Street Preps needs us to know about that we haven't mentioned yet?
Good job, Chaser. Well, if you're looking for a great atmosphere for football game tonight, go to Portland. Springfield goes to Portland. It's a big Class 5A Region 7 game. Springfield's 3-0 in the region. Portland's 2-1. If you've never been game at Portland, their football stadium, there's a train track right behind the home side. So when the train comes through like 40 times a game, it gets loud and the crowd loses its mind. It's packed up there. It's a lot of fun. That atmosphere is what makes high school football so much fun and so unique and so cool. So the Springfield at Portland game tonight is one that's pretty big. Also, up in Clarksville, Marshall County travels take on Montgomery Central. Two teams are kind of making their way in seeding for the playoffs. That's a big game tonight and a lot of fun. And also one more game, no regional implications, but it's just a fun community game. Gallatin travels to take on Lebanon. Lebanon is 7-1. They haven't been this good in years. So that's a big rival game. And Gallatin's beat Lebanon pretty bad over the years. So for Lebanon, they can win tonight, get a little revenge back at Gallatin. They're 8-1, some momentum heading to the playoffs. But it's going to be a fantastic night for high school football. Follow us at Main Street Preps for scores, for stories, and everything else you need, guys.
Okay, so I just looked this up because I was curious on this. My first ever rock concert was Aerosmith at Starwood Amphitheater, September 19th, 2001. You guys know Wahoo, George's friend Wahoo, Warren. His stepson is my best friend.
Warren Phillips.
He took us to this show, and we loved Aerosmith. They were great. And they played 25 songs that night. He made us leave after the 18th song. We didn't get to see Walk This Way or the encore.
Oh,
man.
Wait,
when was this?
September. It was right after 9/11.
Yeah. September 19th,
2001. Wow. And we weren't even sure if the show was going to happen because they had canceled a bunch of shows. But they were awesome. Like, Steven Tyler was on it. Joe Perry was on it. It was great.
You know what's funny is about that Aerosmith show in September, I believe I'm correct, of 88, Aerosmith opened it, was at Starwood, and their opening act was a hot young band out of L.A. called Guns N' Roses.
Oh, wow.
And they were simply, I didn't go to the show, but friends that went there said they were just simply incredible and really overshadowed Aerosmith at that time. And of course, Guns N' Roses, we know what happened with them. That album, just amazing. And so what a show that would have been.
Yeah. So just had to look that up. Fuel open for Aerosmith that night. So
interesting.
Now I'm going to go cry. Thanks, Jay.
You're welcome. Joe, thanks as always. We'll do it again next week.
Appreciate you, boys. Thank you.
Big Joe Dubin, Main Street Media, Main Street Preps. Give them a follow and follow him at Big Joe on the go. Yeah, I was so disappointed. He was like, Wahoo said, well, I got to go to work the next day. Made us leave.
Wow.
So upset.
Oh, man.
I mean, they were just getting into the
good stuff. In defense of Wahoo. It could be pretty tough getting out of that place.
It was.
I mean, it could take a while. There weren't many roads coming in and out.
We missed Walk This Way, Sweet Emotion, Living on the Edge. Like, we missed some good stuff. But it's all good. It's all good. Darren, I know you're going to tell us about DraftKings.
My first house, I could hear the shows like Aerosmith in my backyard.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yep. It was fantastic navigating home.
I'm sure.
I could be home in less than 5 minutes. That was fantastic. Yes, the NBA is back. And at DraftKings Sportsbook, the authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, the key to victory is a strong starting five. New customers, listen up. You can bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game. And when they do that, you win $200 in free bets. So why not make your roster Washington, 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 and oh, yeah, Washington. Yeah, DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also get skin in the game with new same-game parlays where you combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now and use that promo code 1025GAME and bet just $5 of your money on any NBA team to win their game. And when they win, you win $200 in free bets. Yes, you win $200 in free bets. That promo code again, 1025GAME. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, the authorized sports betting partner of the NBA. You must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.